Within the next few days, we're going to begin our study of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. When we're studying in the book of the Acts, we're going to have an opportunity of seeing the early Christian church. And with all the different things that are said about the Christian church and about Christianity as a whole, by many people over the whole world, and many of the things that are said critically. There are a good many people talk about Christians as if they felt that there was something lacking in them. You will find that when it comes to the early Christian church, there's a common, by common consent, we're inclined to think that they were real Christians in those days. And when we come into the book of Acts and study this, we're going to find that the one thing that made them what they were happened to them in a great event that we call Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit into the heart. It's going to be the glory of the gospel that we hope we can repeat again and again, that God will come to anybody. God's not proud. He's humble and meek, and he will come to anybody. Whosoever will can come to God, and whosoever will open his heart, God will come to him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him. Yet when we think about that, we then ask ourselves, will God come to everybody? Does he come to anybody and everybody? And we have to admit, no, he doesn't come to everybody. He comes to some people. And the question might very well be raised, what is there about these people to whom God comes that we could recognize and see? And we're thinking of that when we think of the book of Acts. When we consider those disciples to whom the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, we could ask ourselves, how were they different from other people? And so far in our program here, we have taken note of the fact of two things about them. They were men who believed in God, the God of the Bible, and that distinguishes them from a great many people on the face of the earth, not only over the whole world, but even in our own country and among our own people. These were men who believed in God. Not everybody does, but these were men who believed in God. And the second thing we took note of was they believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They believed that. They're the ones who received this. Now I want to draw your attention to something else about these men. I'll put it to you as simply as I can. These were men who were absolutely convinced that the body of Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Just that. They believed that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You know what that means? They believed that Jesus Christ is alive. Now we read in the book of Acts, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Sometimes I'm afraid we just leave that in the book. It's a sentence that's to be found in the Bible, so we just leave it in the Bible. But let me urge upon your heart and upon mine, we need to pick that sentence up, bring it right in broad daylight, and just admit this fact. There are some people in the world who do believe from the bottom of their hearts that Jesus is alive. Now, they are the only ones that will ever qualify for receiving the Holy Spirit of God in the heart. Let me repeat this to you. So far as the Bible is concerned, it doesn't know anything about anybody receiving the Holy Spirit who does not believe from his heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Paul could write that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just like that. And I must say that for myself, I expect that some of you have heard me say, and if not, let me say it to any of you who may be listening now, I grew up to manhood as an unbeliever. I was an agnostic. And one of my problems was this very thing. I was supposed to believe that Jesus Christ was alive. I couldn't do it. Not all honesty, you know. I could think he was alive perhaps the way Shakespeare's alive and the way Mark Twain's alive or any other author or painter or perhaps the way Napoleon is alive in France or perhaps the way Luther is alive in Germany or perhaps the way George Washington's alive in America. That's not what I mean. Not alive just in memory and in history and with a continuing tradition, but I mean person to person, just as much alive in heaven as I am here upon earth. that I could have dealings with him. And what I'm saying to you just now is that it's absolutely essential that I have this kind of conviction if I ever want to receive the blessing that will make out of me the kind of Christian you read about in the Bible. These were men who were really convinced that the body of Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead. Now let me draw your attention to something. These men who were there on the day of Pentecost, they had seen the open tomb. They had gone to that sepulcher and looked in. The body was gone. They knew it. And they heard the testimony of the people who saw him. Mary Magdalene talked to him. There were other disciples that talked to him. They had seen him face to face. There were those two disciples that were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and he walked with them by the way and came into their home and sat down at the table and broke bread with them. There were those disciples that went out fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and he was there on the bank and had prepared fish and had broiled fish on the fire there and invited them to come and eat. These were people who actually, literally, had dealings with him after he had been raised from the dead. The reason I'm stressing this is that so far as these men were concerned, they had no question in their mind that Jesus is alive. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is that right there you can mark it down. This is where we separate people. Those who are going to receive the greater blessings from God are the people who believe that Jesus Christ is alive. And if I cannot believe that Jesus Christ is alive, then the greater blessing of God in my soul will never come to pass. These were men who had been, many of them were present, when he showed himself alive after he had been crucified. And you remember we read about him coming to those disciples in the upper room and walking among them and saying to them, "Don't be afraid, don't be upset when you see me. Don't think of me as if I were a ghost, a spirit. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Handle me and see." And we read that when they could not yet believe for joy, they were so excited they didn't know whether they could believe their own eyes and believe their own ears. He said, "Have you here any meat? Do you have any food?" And they brought him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Simple as that, but as profound as that. Now, nobody living on the face of the earth can ever seriously say that that doesn't mean to teach as plain as day that the body of Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The reason I'm emphasizing it is we've got so many people trying to help the Christian gospel out. They're trying to fix it so that you can be a Christian and not really believe in the resurrection of the body. Don't let anybody fool you. By no means don't let anyone fool you. Now, I know what it is to be a grown man and not believe in the resurrection. I know what that is. But I'm so glad nobody came along and told me it didn't make any difference. I knew that disqualified me. If there was anything to this thing called the Christian faith, I didn't have it. And that was the truth. I didn't have it. But by the grace of God, I was given that faith. And what is that faith now? That I can believe in my heart that God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, you remember among the disciples who saw him when he was raised from the dead, we read that Thomas was not with them. And later, when Thomas came with them and they told him they'd seen Jesus Christ was alive, Thomas said, "I won't believe it." He said, "I can't believe it." And they said, "But he actually was here." Thomas says, "I can't believe it." And then he said this, "Unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." And you remember that a week later, 8 days later, we read, they were all gathered together, and Thomas was there, and the Lord Jesus appeared. And he called him, "Thomas, come put your fingers in here." Now, and he showed him his side, "Thrust your hand in." You remember how Thomas fell on his knees, "My Lord and my God." And then the Lord Jesus said this, "Thomas, thou hast seen, and thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, and yet have believed." There you are. That's what I want to tell you people right now. They were present when he ascended into heaven. They went out with him out from Jerusalem and to the Mount of Olives. And then while they were standing there, he was taken away in full view of them all, ascending into the clouds out of sight. Let those words come just exactly as I say them. That's exactly what they saw. Those are the people to whom the Holy Spirit came. You and I couldn't be there. That's 1,900 years ago. We couldn't have been there. But I can ask you this. Do you believe it? Will you accept it as true? And do I believe it? This makes all the difference in the world in a man's thought. You see, if Jesus is alive, heaven is real. If Jesus is alive, there's another world than this one. If Jesus is alive, then God is real. And then the Holy Spirit is real. Then the Holy Spirit can come. See how it follows up? How this thing all follows through? But if my heart and mind is the kind of heart and mind that can't believe it, I cannot accept this statement. Well, you can be very sure that I'm not able to. It's like trying to hold water in a fish net. You couldn't hold it. This thing of trying to believe, trying to receive the Holy Spirit, you don't even believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. You see, the coming of the Holy Spirit of God is according to the promises of God, and the promises of God are set forth in Scripture. The Scripture tells us about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, why should anything be true that you read in the Bible? Now, as far as Paul is concerned, he was convinced about this because he met the Lord Jesus when he was on the Damascus Road and saw him, as he says, as one born out of due time. And afterwards, Paul went around teaching that Jesus is the very Christ. And this is what they said about him. When they brought him into court, they said that their questions were concerning one Jesus who had been crucified. And then this phrase, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. That's just it. These were men who were convinced that Jesus is alive. And this gave them an entirely different outlook about God and about heaven and about the Holy Spirit. From them, the Holy Spirit could come into the heart. So far as you and I are concerned, it's tremendously important that we understand this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and Heavenly Father, open our hearts and strengthen us to believe and give us the grace to be sure that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.